This morning I'm going to be reading Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the seeds soon wilted under the hot sun, since they didn't have deep roots. They died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Olivia. We do have Sunday school, though, for any kids that want to go to the back with Miss Jill. So good morning, church family. It's an honor to be with you this morning and to be gathered with you. Pastor Todd is away this week on his mission in Cuba, and he asked me a few weeks ago to fill in for him. So naturally, I said yes, because I'm broken and haven't learned how to say no yet. So don't hold that against me. In all seriousness, though, I've really enjoyed the rare opportunity to do something like this for many reasons, but two of them is one, it kind of forces me to do some studying, to get into the Word and learn what I'm talking about, and then two, I really enjoy the sense of accomplishment after the fact. So I don't envy pastors, because it's a lot of work to get a sermon, public speaking together. And so after delivering a heartfelt message and after giving a sharing of the gospel, it's just really rewarding for any of you guys who have shared the gospel with someone. It's just like so good, right, afterwards. It's nerve-wracking at first. I gotta like slowly let my nerves die down this morning, but it is good after. So when I did say yes, I didn't really know what to preach on other than this word revelation, which is a word that's been rattling around in my head. So we're not following the renewed purpose this morning either. So mostly that's my fault for not getting that information to the office. So that's me to blame. So this word revelation has been rolling around in my head, and what's been wild is that as I was procrastinating writing this all down, a friend of mine challenged me to memorize a few verses in Proverbs, and then later that week, my brother-in-law encouraged me to listen to a podcast that he's been listening to, and so I downloaded that podcast. They released a new episode. I listened to the episode. I loved it. He was right. And it was on the same verses in Proverbs that some unrelated friend had told me about to memorize. And so I kind of took that as a sign. Out of all the verses that someone could give you to memorize, and an unrelated person gives you a podcast that coincidentally relates to it, a very small scripture in a very big book that also relates to, you guessed it, Revelation. It was kind of cool how that all came together, so I'm excited about this, and I hope you are too. And firstly, I want to remind you all why you walked in the door this morning. As individuals, we come to church to encounter God, to receive revelation from God, to have our lives touched in that way. We could all meet up at a restaurant, which we should, and the fellowship there would be good. Fellowship is good, right? We could all go home and sing songs, and worship is important too. But the reason we gather as a church is because when two or more are gathered, He shows up. He shows up to that fellowship and to those singing of songs. Amen? So what is revelation? I'm not sure, really, what your definition would be. I'm not sure what Webster would define it as, but a fun story I've heard my dad say before is that he had a sleepover with his friends when he was young, when he was a little boy, and in the morning, they both had a bowl of cereal. They ate it, and then his friend poured another bowl of cereal in his bowl and ate that too. My dad had a revelation. You can have more than one bowl of cereal? This was big for a growing boy. And I had a similar thing happen to me when I was a teenager. I was at a friend's house watching a movie and eating junk food, as I imagine teenagers do. And my friend proceeded to open up a bag of potato chips. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking like a bag of potato chips. But this was a family size bag of potato chips that he opened. And he continued to eat the whole thing. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know that was humanly possible. I didn't know that was allowed. It probably wasn't allowed in his household. But he ate the whole thing. So speaking of being a teenager, which might have been a few years ago for some of us here, you might remember when you were first told about puberty. That was a revelation. The conversation, what you thought before the conversation, after the conversation, completely changed your world. So in following Christ, you too may have experienced a revelation. Maybe it was a sermon or an altar call that changed your world from that day on. Maybe it was a rock bottom moment when you were flat on your back and that's what forced you to start looking up. Maybe it was a realization that you were not perfect, or a eureka instance where you decided, hey, I need a savior. Maybe it was a light bulb idea that, oh, there is a God, and oh, I'm not him. I imagine for any believer out there found in Christ that we've had these different revelation moments, these epiphanies. It's kind of fitting today because, depending on how you look at the church calendar, last Sunday or this Sunday was or is Epiphany Sunday, which is kind of cool. These epiphanies or revelations, they are so uplifting when we learn something awesome or powerful or absolutely beautiful about who God is. It's uplifting. Or when we learn those things about our relationship to that God, it's super uplifting. I had a revelation moment when I was a youth in the dorms at Simpson Park Camp. We had evening devotions there, and I remember learning for the first time, fully realizing that God was outside of time and space. Like, it was a mind-blowing moment. Can you all hear me? Is that better? Yeah, so it was a mind-blowing moment, and that's when I, like, those questions I had about if you pray and I pray at the same time, how does God hear both of those prayers? Or if we're getting touched by the Lord here, we need his help here in Michigan, and they need his help there in Africa, how does he do that all? Well, he's outside of time and space. And so these questions really were all taken care of. It made sense. But the truth in these revelations is that for seasoned churchgoers, those revelations are further and farther between. And for new believers too, sometimes the ways of Jesus can seem mysterious, sometimes backwards, and hard to understand. Like, the first will be last. What? What? The first will be last? So is God trying to keep himself from us? Does Jesus want people to be confused by him? Why can't these revelations come easier? Like, why does Jesus speak in riddles and parables? Well, I'm glad you asked. The short answer is no. God does want himself to be known and known well by every living soul. The long answer about these revelations for why he speaks in parables is something new I just learned on that podcast that day, right? To understand this long answer, we have to put ourselves in the shoes, or in this case, sandals, of a first century Jew. You see, back then, rabbis didn't just relay information to their disciples. Here's some information, you give it to somebody else, right? They didn't just spout out facts. they invited disciples on a journey. And this journey was not a quick fix, a 12-step program or plan. It was a journey that took time. In fact, I learned that rabbis back then would have in their teaching four levels. So this first level, which is cool, was called Peshat. Everybody say Peshat. This was a simple, plain, and surface level meaning in the story, like an anchoring message, like that message in The Tortoise and the Hare, right? Slow and steady wins the race. That's like the Peshat. And this, though simple, is a super important message. This is what American churches usually preach on, right? Like the easy things that come to us when we read the Bible, the important but easy things. And the other three levels we don't usually talk about as much, and that's why a parable could be confusing for us. We just don't have that normal language in our society today. So when Jesus throws them in, it can be confusing. Will you look with me at what Jesus says in verse 18 and 19 in Matthew there, after the parable of the sower that Olivia read for us? This parable is interesting because it's actually one that Jesus explains what the parable means, and he'll reveal that as the Peshat. So in verse 18, it says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means." 19. "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart." As we read this, we learn the Peshat, the surface level reasoning, is that the soil is actually a person's heart. You guys know this from hearing this story many times in church, right? And it's also about their heart posture towards the Lord. So level two in the teachings of the rabbis is called remez, which means hint. You see, rabbis would be famous for burying treasure in their story or parable. This would add to the plain language, not be a different meaning. It would add to that Peshat. And if we look at verses 23 after, it says, "But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it." So the key word is understands. In the parable, it's revealed to us that understanding centers in the heart. So surface level, we learn that Jesus is talking about different heart postures. And then below that, the hint is that the understanding comes from that heart posture. So I love these two elements coming together, the heart and understanding, because it says that we can't just spew facts at people to lead them closer to Jesus, right? We can't expect them to come to Jesus with information. It's actually a matter of the heart. We know this from experience, right? So level three is called Darash. Everybody say Darash. Now, this is where Christ really makes us search a little bit. You see, everything that Jesus says is connected to the Old Testament. When Jewish disciples hear this understanding of the heart, that language, they were supposed to link that up with the old scriptures written by their ancestor Solomon in Proverbs 2. That reads, let's see if I can do this. This is the one he told me to memorize, okay? So Proverbs 2, verse 1 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart towards understanding, yes, if you call out to insight, if you raise your voice to understanding, if you search for it like silver and find it like hidden treasures, then you will know the fear of the Lord and understand the knowledge of God. For God, or the Lord, gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So that's the cool relationship between what Jesus is saying about the soil to his disciples and the scripture that 1,000 years prior Solomon was writing. There's this relationship between our heart and actually understanding the ways of God. So those Jewish boys that were hearing, and I shouldn't say boys, young men that were hearing from Jesus had those verses memorized as young lads in school, right? And they had to connect those things when Jesus talks about the soil. So level 4 is called sowed. I think I'm pronouncing that right, which means gift. Level 4 to me is like that revelation. It's teaching that can only be given to us when we do have that heart inclination, when we have made our ears attentive to wisdom. It's a gift from the Lord. If we jump back in that scripture reading that Olivia gave us, in verse 10, the disciples, here, I'll read it right here, verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" This is kind of what we're talking about, right? In verse 11, he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but not to them." These revelations that we are seeking take time to dig and dig some more to discover them. You see, Jesus doesn't want people to misunderstand him or prematurely come to a conclusion and walk away with something false. This is what separates those who want the easy from those who want the truth. This is what reveals those who want only the confirmation and not the transformation. Jesus speaks like he speaks, not to make scripture easier, but to make us spend more time with it, to draw his disciples closer. When people hear and it doesn't make sense right off the bat, they sometimes will leave. And that reveals the heart of a fan versus the heart of a follower. So 2 Sundays ago, Pastor Todd gave a metaphorical situation in which Jesus himself was at the door when we exited. There, Jesus was handing out 2 plans for how our life would go in 2026. Do you guys remember this? Plan A was the easy and fun way, but at the end of the year, we would not be closer to our Lord and Savior. And plan B was hard and full of tribulations, but at the end of the year, we'd be much closer to Jesus than ever before. I don't know about you, but I had a revelation when Pastor Todd spoke that. It reminded my heart that these trials in this life are par for the course and that there is reason for the pain. But it also reawakened my understanding that Jesus wants close relationship with us above all else. Instead of parables, Jesus could have just been like, "Hey, do this, don't do that. Be like this, don't be like that." Done. That could have been his teaching. But no, he rather us take the scenic route with him and go on that journey with him. He wants the journey. Do you? And so what am I getting at here? I'm trying to say I want to dig deeper. And I think you do too. I want revelation with its transformation and its edification and all the other Asians. I think of that third day song, "Give me revelation, show me what to do. I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here or do I need to move? Give me revelation, I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you, Lord." So what would I prescribe myself this day for that to happen? For me to have revelation in my life, purpose and direction, freedom, in dependence on Jesus. Well, for starters, I think we need to receive his words and treasure up his commandments and make my ear attentive to wisdom and incline my heart to understanding. All those things that Proverbs 2 was talking about for those who are seeking him. Because our attentiveness is our devotion. And how we spend our time is our worship. So have I truly been loving the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or even trying to do so? Have you? I wrote in here, dramatic pause. I wrote it down because this is like the greatest commandment, right? To love you, Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I haven't figured that out yet, but I'm going to keep receiving his words and treasuring up his commandments and doing all those things in Proverbs 2 we just talked about, and I hope you will too. Secondly, another thing that I would prescribe is the Holy Trinity of Sunday school answers, right? Prayer, Bible reading, and church. I feel like you can get through any Sunday school class with memorizing those three things, right? Hey, kids, what is one way that we can get close to God? Pray, says Lucy. Hey, guys, how might we hear God speak to us more? Read the Bible, says Linus. Where can we go to get closer to God? Church, says Charlie Brown. These children answers are actually supposed to be our adult answers too. We American Christians do not know our Bible well enough. We don't talk to God really like we could, and we don't get ourselves to church often enough. When I visited Africa last year in February, I was blown away by how the Africans, some of them, could recite scripture stories from memory as if they were reading it, right? And I can barely take the time to memorize a few verses in Proverbs. I went to a prayer meeting there in Africa that was like 2 hours long. And that's uncomfortable for us in America, right? Like, that's a long time to be praying. And then they had those every night of the week, like 5 days a week. And the same people would show up every night. That's besides Sunday morning worship as well. So I was just encouraged by that. And so I'm preaching to myself here, right? And I know I'm preaching to the choir on these things of reading our Bible and praying and getting to church. But I think if we want more of the Holy Spirit revelation in our lives, the Sunday school answers are a good place to start. How much prayer time do you have? How much have you been in the Bible? And how much are you getting yourselves around like-minded believers? Thirdly, and this is for me too, I would say especially for me, it's been prescribed to me a few other disciplines from this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Have you guys heard about this book? It's a good one. This book is one of the best Christian books that I've read in a while, and it's been super convicting to me about how I need to reorient my life to Jesus. Basically, John Mark says that if we want to be more like Jesus, we need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Easier said than done, right? But here's a few prescriptions that he gives us as we wrap up. His book claims that we need to actively seek solitude and silence like Jesus did all the time in the Bible. We need to observe the Sabbath, not because we have to, but because God made it for us to enjoy. We should seek simplicity by getting rid of all of our stuff, our clothes that we don't wear, all the online shopping that we're doing, and stop with all the stuff that we fill our margins with, the social media and Facebook, to name a few things. So if you've mastered the Bible reading and the prayer time and getting yourself to church, these are a few things to put on your plate as well. Try these things: solitude, Sabbath, simplicity, and slow, 4 different S's. They are things that I stink at and that I'm striving for in 2026. And I really, really, really recommend that book if you're interested. And so what I want to leave with today is a different parable as we go home. Jesus would test his disciples with these parables to see if we might, if they might, spend time on them and go through those levels of Peshat, Remez, Darash, and Sod. Will you accept that challenge too? As if Jesus himself was at the door as we exited today telling you this story, would you go home and chew on it? Would you think about it this week? Would you dig deeper and find where it connects to the Old Testament? I don't even know where it does. I haven't looked into this at all yet, but I will. And I challenge you to do the same. I'm just assuming that it connects somewhere because Jesus was saying it. It's short, it's not a huge commitment, and I'm not sure how it will hit you, but what I do know is the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the divine of soul and spirit, cutting both joints and marrow, and able to discern the hearts and the intentions of the heart, the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So I read for you your homework in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Everybody say Matthew 7. Okay, you got it. Good. So verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against his house. Yet it did not fall because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat up against his house and it fell with a great crash. Brothers and sisters, let's not just hear these things and foolishly not put them into practice. Amen. Amen.